you've been falsely accused before, and you can't, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, you can't justify yourself before the one who's charging you. And David experienced that. That's what David is experiencing in our, in this psalm, in Psalm 7. And the Lord uses many things to draw his people to himself. And that's one such thing that the Lord used in the case of King David, to draw him to the Lord. And when we are charged falsely, it helps us to remember that we can't justify ourselves before God. We can't justify ourselves from our sin. There's a charge that is true. We are sin. We are sinful. But flee to the Lord. Flee to God to justify, to be our defender, from defend us from his own justice. But that's what David did. Verse 1, he says, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. We saw last time how that David praised the Lord my God. He put his trust in him. We saw the faithfulness of God in a trust, a trust. Now, listen to this. This will be our text this morning. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, iniquity is that which is unequal, that which is unjust. If there be iniquity in my hands, if I have, here's an example, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. Drop down to verse 5. Let the enemy, David says, if I have done this, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. The believer takes sides with God. The believer sides with God. That's what God's grace makes us to do. David is not saying he's sinless. David knew he was a sinner. In Psalm 32:5, he says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. I'll confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. We read in Psalm 38:3, there's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. David knew he was a sinner. But these charges, these particular charges that had been laid against David, were unjust. They were untrue. And he's appealing to God here, and he's making a strong appeal to God that he's innocent of these particular charges that were laid against him. This is what he said to Saul. David, and Saul is the one to whom he's been charged. And he said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words? This is what men were saying. Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. That's what men were telling Saul. David is seeking to harm you, Saul. And the Lord said, and Saul said, why do you hear those words? He said, know and see that there's neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. I have not sinned against thee. I don't desire your hurt, David was saying to Saul. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. This is what he said in 1 Samuel. We'll see this in a moment. But yet, what I want you to see here is as David commits this, his cause to God, the God who judges righteously, as he commits this cause to God to judge for him, he even makes this plea, but he makes this plea for God to do so in righteousness. The believer's plea is this, that thou, God, might be just when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He's asking God to judge. He's asking God to plead his case for him. But David's plea for God to judge for him is that if I'm unjust, if I need to be corrected in this matter, Lord, do so. Do so. Where does a believer get a heart like that? Look over at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2:19. Where do we get a heart to commit everything to God, even when we've been charged falsely. Listen to 1 Peter 2:19. This is thankworthy. If a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you're buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. David knew he was a sinner, knew sin was in his hands, though he wasn't guilty of this particular charge that another man laid against him. But Christ did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he didn't revile again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. We see Christ in what David is doing, don't we? David is committing himself to him that judgeth righteously. This is where a believer gets this heart to do this. We get it from the Spirit of God dwelling in us. David was born of the Spirit of God, and he desired with all his heart for this whole matter to be in God's hand and for God to judge righteously, so that he even says, Lord, if I don't, even in this civil matter between a man and a man, if I don't see it, what I've done, if I don't see what I've done, and I am guilty, Lord, lay me in the dust. Put me in the dust. You see, a believer wants God. He commits all his care into God's hand. In doing so, we commit all our care into his hand for God to correct me. Correct me. Defend me and correct me. Christ himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. That's what David's doing here. He's living unto righteousness. He's living unto God, his righteousness, by whose stripes he's healed. And he's asking him, O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. So there may be times when the believer's charged in a civil matter, charged, and it may be a wrong charge. See to it, it's a false charge. That's our desire, to make sure it's a false charge. But even we were called to this, to suffer, bear it patiently if we're charged wrongfully. Christ was. He was. The true humility, though, that God gives in the heart, that he creates in the heart, true humility is this, is to take sides with God even against ourselves. Is to take sides with God, desiring for righteousness, the righteousness of God to be upheld, for God to judge justly, even if we need to be corrected. Now, I want you to see, secondly, the believer takes sides with God, but secondly, this whole psalm, we're going to just look at these two verses today, but this whole psalm is a psalm of judgment, of righteousness, of David pleading for righteousness and judgment. Now, the gospel is in the parentheses. Most of your newer translations take the parentheses completely out and put something else here, a word plunder. And it's unfortunate, really. In every other place, at the same exact word that the newer translations translate plunder, in every other place they translate the same word, deliver. But I love what's in the parentheses in our translation, because the gospel's right here, verse 4. Yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God right here. Twice David delivered Saul. Let's go see this. 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We'll read verses 1 through 15. And then I want you to hold your place here in 1 Samuel 24, because we'll come back at the end. But look at this. It came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goat. Saul's pursuing David. He's heard this charge that David's trying to kill him, hurt him, dethrone him, and he's going after David. And it came to the sheepcotes by the way, 1 Samuel 24, verse 3, he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. He went in to lay down and rest, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. They were in that cave, David and his men were. And Saul goes in, he lays down. And the men of David said unto him, they tell David, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. He said that, they said, that day's come, David. He's delivered Saul into your hand. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. Saul is, he's the king. And David bowed to him. Now watch this. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Why are you listening to men that telling you I'm after you? Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not, know thou and see that there's neither evil nor transgression in mine hand. I've not sinned against thee, yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee. But mine hand shall not be upon thee. As saith the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceedeth from the wicked, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. After whom is the king of Israel come out? After whom dost thou pursue? After a dead dog, after a flea. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thine hand. The Lord do this. Look over at 1 Samuel 26. Again, Saul was in the open place, and he was camped out with all his men, and he was sleeping again. In verse 7, it says, so David and Abisha came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. You get the picture here. Here he is with all his guard around him, and there he is laying asleep, and his spear stuck right there. Then said Abisha to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once. I'll not smite him the second time. Abisha said, just let me have one shot. I'll pin him down. I'll pin him to the earth. That's all it's going to take. I'll do it with his own spear. David said to Abisha, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? Who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you're worthy to die, because you've not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice, and he said, Is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? Again, David says to him, Why are you pursuing me? I'm not seeking to do you any harm. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. If the Lord has done this, if the Lord has brought you out against me, as David said in our psalm, if the Lord, if I need to be corrected, put me in the dust in this matter. But if they be the children of men, if this reason you come after me is because men have moved you against me, cursed be they before the Lord, for they've driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, Go serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountain. David had twice there. David had the opportunity to take Saul, and he didn't. He delivered him. He says here, Lord, he says in our text, Lord, if I have done this, if there's iniquity of my hand, if I rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. And he says, but this is what I have done. I have delivered him that without cause is my enemy. Christ Jesus is one we see here. David was innocent in these charges, but David's a sinner. But Christ is the Holy One. Christ is the King David. He is the spotless Lamb of God. There was no iniquity in Christ Jesus. There was absolutely, he never rewarded evil unto any. His enemies were more than the hairs of his head. But look at what the Scripture says. Look at Psalm 69. Look at verse 4. They that hate me without a cause. They that hate me without a cause. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. You see, there's no cause. There's absolutely no cause in our God. There was no cause in Christ at all when he walked this earth for any sinner to consider our God the enemy. There's absolutely none. Just like Saul persecuted David without a cause, without any just reason at all. All Saul had heard was the words of some men. And he took those words and went after David without a cause. Absolutely without a cause. Every natural son of Adam considers the true and living God, our Savior, to be our enemy without a cause. There is no just cause in it. God has only done that which is right. God has only done that which is just. God has only done that which is good. And God only does that which is holy and just and good. There is no cause in any man or in God for any man to consider God his enemy. Absolutely none. We're the ones who are unjust. Our Lord is just in all things. And there's no cause in us for Christ to deliver us. There's no cause in God for us to be an enemy, consider God our enemy. And there's absolutely no cause in anyone that God delivers. Just like David delivered Saul, those two times we just read about, he delivered him without any cause in Saul. Saul gave him every reason to plunder him. He gave him every reason to thrust him through with a spear. But David didn't. He delivered him without a cause. That's exactly what God has done for all the children that he delivers. We don't have any cause in us for God to deliver us. Look at Colossians 1:21. Yea, I have delivered him who without cause is my enemy. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and look at verse 21. God has, you have given, and I have given God every reason to cast us into hell and without any mercy whatsoever. He's given us every cause to do that. Me and you. Every person sitting here right now. But when God saves, he saves entirely without any cause in us. This is the case now. This is the case. Paul in Colossians is talking to brethren who've been born of God, who've been brought to see the mercies of God. And he says this, Colossians 1:21, "And you that were sometime alienated, separated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works." I like the margin here. It says, enemies by your mind. You see, it's our mind that's corrupted. It's our mind that makes us at enmity with God. It's the natural, carnal heart that makes a man at enmity with God. Saul was at enmity. He hated David. His heart was enmity against David without a cause. That's who we are. That's who we are by nature. But listen, you that were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You see, there was no cause in us. We were alienated. We were enemies by corrupt minds toward God. And yet he reconciled. You who sit here right now can say that, you that believe him, you can say, God did this. He reconciled me. I was an enemy to God. He did it in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven. You see this? Look at Romans 5:6. Romans 5, yea, I have delivered him who without a cause was my enemy. Look at Romans 5, verse 6. When we were yet without strength, when we were like Saul, running after God, trying to kill God, like he was trying to kill David, trying to get God down off his throne, trying to get God out of our imagination, trying to ignore God, trying to talk when God was talking, and not listen when God's talking, and not hear when God's talking, trying our best to do everything to put God out of our midst. When we were going in and laying down and sleeping, and at any point God could have thrust us through with a spear, at any point, when we were without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will dare die. Some might die for a righteous man. Peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yea, I have delivered him who without a cause was my enemy. That's what Christ accomplished. He delivered his people by the sacrifice of himself, by his own body on the tree. He delivered his people from the curse of the law. He delivered his people from the just condemnation that was our due. He delivered everyone for whom he died. How do you know he did that? Because he died. Because he bore the weight. He paid the wages of sin, which is death. He put away. Whoever he died for, the wages of sin's been paid for them. And he did it for ungodly, those who were with his enemies without a cause. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, this thing's already been done. This thing's already been accomplished. It's already done. And if we were reconciled to him when we were enemies by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, you right now that he's come to and called by his Spirit and made you see you, he reconciled you so that in your heart, by his Spirit, you're reconciled to God. Reconciled. Much more, he'll save us by his life. This is why David, when he was charged, when these charges were laid against him, this is why David fled to God and said, "Lord, help, in thee do I put my trust. Save me, Lord, deliver me." Because he knew, I've been reconciled to God in my surety, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save me from... That's why he didn't take the law into his own hands when he could have, right there with him. There was another case in between those two cases with a man named Nabal. And Nabal gave David every reason to go and slay him. And Abigail met David in the way and brought David to his senses. And you know what David prayed? He said, "I'm thankful, Lord, that my Lord delivered me from this evil, from going and taking these matters into my own hands and trying to take vengeance." He'll save us by his life. This is what God has done. Christ has restored the honor and the glory, God's honor and God's glory himself. Christ has, he brings through his blood, through his righteousness, the Spirit of God enters in and he restores life, true life, in the hearts of those that have no life, that don't know God, just enemies in our minds. He gives us the mind of Christ. He makes it known in our hearts the things that God has freely given to us. And he makes us to see everything that we rob God of, Christ himself hath restored. Though we were enemies in our mind, though we were ungodly, though we deserved nothing, though there was no cause in us, we were hating God without a cause, and there was no cause for him to do that, yet he said, "I have delivered thee." That's the good news he makes known in the heart. "I have delivered thee." Now here's the sure work that this word does in the heart. We saw it first of all how it makes a believer take sides with God. It makes him flee as David did to God and say, "Lord, in thee do I put my trust. Save me, deliver me." And it makes him take sides with God and say, "Lord, if there is iniquity in my hand, correct me. Lay me in the dust. Correct me, Lord. But Lord, thou judgest. Lord, thou save me." It makes us to behold this by beholding Christ Jesus, who's delivered us without a cause. And this is what this word surely does. I know this word does this. Look, this is what it does. Turn back to 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. We see it in a picture here of what Saul did. And Saul, it wasn't very long after this, he turned right around and was back after David again. But we see this right here of what true grace does in the heart. When a grace comes, when God speaks in the heart, this is what he does. He brings about a confession. Look at what Saul did, 1 Samuel 24 and verse 16. David delivered him. You see that? David delivered him. And David made it known to him he delivered him. David said, "I delivered you, Saul. You see what I've done? I had you. God delivered you into my hand to do with you whatsoever I please." That's exactly the case with all the elect children of God. God put them in the hand of Christ our King to do with as he pleased. They're God's anointed, God's chosen. He put them in his hand and he said, "I will not touch them." Though we reviled him, though we cursed him, though we turned on him, just as Saul did, he said, "I will not touch God's anointed. I will deliver them." That's what he did. And when he makes this known, this is what Saul said. And it came to pass when David had made 1 Samuel 24, verse 16. And it came to pass when David had made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice, and he wept. Saul did. Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I." You see, that's the problem with sinners. We think we're more righteous than God. We think we're more righteous than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're arrogant, we're haughty, we think we're righteous, more righteous. But this is what God does. He makes us to see and confess, "Thou art more righteous than I. That for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. Comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Tell her her warfare is accomplished. I have rewarded her double for all her sins." What do we reward people when they sin against us? What will a man reward another man when he sins against him? If you want to find out, next time everybody's sitting around at the table and nobody's really saying anything, there's not much to say, bring up some injustice that's going on, just you saw in the news, and just hear how fast everybody takes up the spear and just slams it straight through the unjust one. We'll sit around and not have anything to say. If somebody starts talking about something where somebody's guilty, and everybody will jump on the bandwagon, everybody will jump on the soapbox, and we'll all just slay them and like it. And like it. God said, this is what Saul found out. "You rewarded me good, whereas I've rewarded thee evil." God said, "I've rewarded you double for all your sin. I've justified and made you righteous." Look at verse 18. "And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. For as much as when the Lord had delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not." Killest me not. "For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away?" Will let him go away well. "Wherefore the Lord reward thee good for that thou hast done unto me this day." The Lord exalt you, David. The Lord rewards you, David. The Lord exalt you. You know what? God the Father has rewarded his Son. He's exalted him to the right hand of the Father. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's what God did with King David. He made him king over Israel. This is what this grace does. It brings us to see this. And look at this. "And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." That's whose hand the kingdom's established in Christ Jesus the King, in his hand. How does a man see this? When we made to know, yea, he's delivered him who without a cause was his enemy. We find ourselves being the place of the enemy and find out without a cause he's delivered us. We'll find out he's more righteous than we are. We'll find out he is indeed the king in whose hand the kingdom shall prosper. Look at the next thing this did, verse 21. It made Saul ask for mercy. Verse 21, "Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David said, "You have my word." You see this? Here's what I'm getting at. Paul said to all those who were trying to whip men into submission, he said, "Do you despise the riches of God's goodness, the riches of God's forbearance, the riches of God's long-suffering?" Don't we see God's forbearance, his goodness, his long-suffering? And David could have slain him at any time, and he waited, he waited, he waited. Paul said, "Do you not know that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance?" David, when he had sinned against the Lord, he said, "If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who should stand? If you mark iniquity, who shall stand? But," he said, "there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." When is a man going to fear the Lord? When are we going to when are we going to stop being so disrespectful, irreverent to God, before God, in His very presence, which we are right now in His, but when are we going to stop being irreverent to Him and hit our face before God and worship Him as He ought to be worshipped? When we find out what forgiveness is. What forgiveness is. Well, I want to give you two things to end with. Believe on Christ. He's the just one. He's the just one. He's the just deliverer. And He delivers those who absolutely have no cause in us for deliverance. He delivers those. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is the word of what gospel we preach. It is that God has done the reconciling. And so we then, as ambassadors with Him, together with Him, beseech you, be ye reconciled to God. For God hath made Him who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God has done that. This is what it took to reconcile His people unto Himself. And He says, therefore, Paul said, we then as workers together beseech you, don't receive the grace of God in vain. Is this going to all end up at the end when you come into the presence of God and you're going to say, every single day of my life was vanity? God sent the word of grace to me. God sent this word to me, and I could have heard it. I could have heeded it. I could have looked into His word. I could have heard what He said. He gave me every privilege. Privileges He didn't give anybody else. And I received it all in vain. Counted it worthless. Counted it nothing. He said, today is the day of salvation. Hear Him today. And here's the second thing, in every case, for us who believe. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12. In every case. In every case, amid every false charge, commit your cause to Him that judgeth righteously. Commit your cause to Him. Take sides with God, knowing if we need to be corrected, Lord, correct me. But look at what He says, Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. How can I do that? How can I do that after what God's done for me? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Remember how many times David said that? The Lord judge between me and thee. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Isn't that what happened with Saul? Saul, that's not meant to be a thing of vengeance. That's meant what Saul saw. You're more righteous than I. You've rewarded me good when I rewarded you evil. His heart was melted within him. He fell down and wept. That's a great thing. Be not overcome of evil. That's what happens when we render evil for evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Somebody wrote this, to do evil for good, to return evil for good, is human corruption. To do good for good is civil retribution. But to do good for evil is Christian perfection. Though this be not the grace of nature, yet it is the nature of grace. Somebody else put it like this. Evil for good is devil-like. Evil for evil is beast-like. Good for good is man-like. Good for evil is God-like. God-like. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified. It's Christ that died, that's risen again. This is what David said. Look at Psalm 116:8. I'll end with this. This is the same word delivered. Which delivered is translated. Psalm 116:8. I was going to give you a bunch of places and show you how that word is delivered, but if you have a Hebrew to English lexicon, you look that up. Psalm 116:8. This is our rejoicing. Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. That's our rejoicing. He'll keep his people. He'll keep his people. Amen.